I think you're already seeing that now. Like a lot of homes are being bought by newcomers. This is the first time I think that you can really even notice newcomers in Halifax. I feel like now that there's actually like a presence, I think we're going to be surprised at how intensive things go on the ownership side of things.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of years when people ask him, like, you just wait, man, wait till these rates go back down and all these folks get off the foreign buyer ban and they get their PR established. Like it is going to be chaos. But the drop off over a couple of years of these folks is pretty significant.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, so they leave the country.
Because we have a lot of empty commercial space. We always have in the city. My big thing is, I do think spending is going to be down. I think there's kind of this lag going on right now where a bazillion people moved in and there's so much focus on giving them housing, but then they also just need basic things to live.
But like if you're projecting to all this new development that's going to happen here, a lot of them come with a lot of commercial square footage. And when lending is super tight, because no one opens those stores, no one opens those restaurants with their own money.
Yeah.
When I was broke, I had rich habits. When I was broke, I had rich habits.
All right. Episode 2 of the new incarnation, season 3, Master Keys Podcast. I'm Chandler.
I'm Neil Andrino.
And we're excited. We're back. We're finding our groove.
Yeah.
Feels like it, a little bit at least.
We're trying to figure out production. We're doing a lot of it ourselves right now.
We also kind of think that we're not going to be as focused on putting the full video version on YouTube. I mean, there'll be something there, but for the most part, I think people, we're going to want you to hop onto your traditional listen-only platforms for the podcast. And then we'll have some short-form clips for social media and the like. Is that the plan?
Yeah, 100%. There wasn't, I don't think, the return on investment on the video side for YouTube. There was a small following on there, but majority, I think, listen.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people like to watch it. And I think some people would put the YouTube on and just listen to it. So I don't know. We'll have something on there, long form content. We're just trying to be economical and smart with it and just get out and all that good stuff. So yeah, what's going on? Anything you want to touch on right off the hop? Maybe preview what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to go back to our classic format, guys. We're going to start with a couple different news articles that caught our eye. I have kind of an interesting one here. And then we're going to follow up with what we talked about last time, which is Chandler talked about his take on each segment, industrial, commercial, residential, multi-res, condo, and office. He just quickly briefed why he thought the things that he did. So I'm going to remind him of what he chose. He's going to go over fully why he thinks it.
Talking on my ass. Let's see what I seem to.
Yeah, well, I should double check you. I should get to your predictions again and see if they've changed in the week. And then
I feel strongly about these. So.
I'm also going to give my predictions and give some background on those. And I think that'll probably suck up our time today. But I think we'll have differing opinions. But you got a fair number of notes written down there. Do you want to start with a little news article?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Open Room?
Open Room?
Yeah.
Room?
Open Room? Yeah. So it's this platform where effectively you can...
This is an AI thing?
Well, no, it's in Ontario. It was actually this lady, and I wish I had her name here, but I don't. She'd be a good guest for the pod, actually. So she was in Ontario, and she was having a bad experience with a tenant, and she was looking into trying to, you know, get resources on how do I deal with a bad tenant. And she found that there wasn't much out there, and she was a coder, a programmer. I don't really know much about...
Software developer.
She made internet stuff. and so she created Open Room, where people could essentially database problem tenants and also put actions against landlords, like report board findings that went against landlords as well. And this thing has slowly grown and grown and grown. And now it's up to, she said they got 1.7 million searches last year. And what you can do is you go on, you can put a tenant's name in there. And if there were any actions made by the tenancy board in Ontario against that tenant, you know, it would be reported there. And so people, like originally she was the one doing this, but now it's become sort of crowdsourced where other people will upload their results, their information, and she goes in and then confirms them. And it's this great database now that landlords can use and tenants as well. Because again, when a finding has been levied against, an action has been levied against a landlord, that can also be entered into this database.
Okay, but it's still manual upload.
It is still manual upload. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there's powers in numbers when you think of how many landlords are out there and how many tenants are out there who can get these things and then pretty simply upload it. I'm not familiar with the platform, obviously. I thought you might have heard of it, but I found that really interesting. I saw that an article on it and I thought it was pretty cool. That's something we talked about here because we don't have something like that in Nova Scotia. And anytime there was even a really almost anonymous private closed group on Facebook, I think probably some people on here are on those Facebook groups, they would get shut down because this was, an invasion of privacy. However, technically these findings, you know, once they're public out there, those findings are out there. So hosting them on a platform doesn't necessarily impede on someone's privacy if But of course, the site is with does have some critics out there.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst thing ever. We've talked about this before. These different types of thing, like whether it's a website or some sort of registry, it's just the manual population. I find is always what these things demise. It's like I feel like there's a window where everyone's keen, and then it's like, do they keep up with it?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my only concern is that it'll fizzle out.
Yeah.
But you're right. It goes for both ways. It'd be good for landlords and it's good for the tenants.
There's also just such a simple avenue there where she could say, hey, you know, go to the province, like, I have this coding, right? I have the platform. Why don't you guys just take this and do it? So why don't they want to do it? And the reason is they don't want the backlash. Same as here.
I was just going to say, it'd be so much heat from tenants.
Yeah.
It would be.
But it should also be there against landlords as well. Because, man, people post videos about their bad landlord. People drag their landlord on Reddit. Like, they do it all the time with no consequence. And maybe that's fair. If someone has done wrong by you and you feel like your only action you have is to go to some sort of public forum to get some sort of justice or at least feel better yelling to your keyboard, then maybe that's fair, right? But wouldn't it be better for all sides if there was an actual platform?
Yeah. There needs to be something. And there needs to be some sort of credit system associated with it. And it's going to become a lot more relevant again here as the market potentially slows down a little bit. And then right now, I don't think landlords have said too much about it simply because you can fill up a unit really quickly. Mm-hmm. People don't mess around as much because they don't want a chance losing a unit.
Yeah, it's true.
If the market starts to soften, we're going to go back into a time of kind of like the bad debt that a lot of them talk about.
Do you feel that there's more animosity between landlords and tenants now than there might have been, say, 7 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. And do you think that has to do purely with the amount of like how high the rent is, or
there's a bunch of reasons. Guys like us don't help anything.
What?
I'm putting us in the same boat, but like this. So like this podcast, I think rubs a lot of people the wrong way, especially on the tenant side. And I mean, for a bunch of reasons, understandable.
I disagree with you. I don't know how anyone could be upset by this podcast. But I don't think people like the idea of someone maybe trying to make money off of real estate. Some people just think that shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just a fundamental disagreement, you know, that.
So I think it's a bunch of things. Yes. I think, yeah, exactly to what you're saying. So nobody's upset at Coca-Cola for charging 99 cents for their bottle of pop, even though they're making, let's say, a 70% margin or whatever it is, because it still feels chill because it's 99 cents.
Mm.
Rent is expensive and it's the most expensive thing that you're paying for, likely. Like you most likely do not have another expense that's higher than your rent. So it's your number one expense. So if you feel any sort of financial pressure, the immediate thing you're going to look to is
your
rent.
Big ticket expense,
is your big ticket expense. And then additionally, the reason things are worse right now is in the last 7 years, we've had a run where real estate's done well. And so rents have been able to climb. There's been a lot of demand. And so that marketplace has done really, really well.
I understand why.
But I think it ebbs. Like it'll ebb and flow. Like if the market slows down or when the market slows down, that hatred will probably reduce as well. And when they start seeing that maybe rents came off a little bit or they have some options, then people might start to be like, oh, like I have a few options. I can go to different places. I don't hate my landlord as much. But right now that people, I think, feel like I finally got into something. I can barely afford it. I don't really want to be here. And then my landlord shows up to check on the place in a Range Rover. Like, I'm not interested. Like, I just don't like this person.
Well, I can understand. So that's why maybe a tenant doesn't love their landlord. Why are some landlords maybe feeling, you know, not feeling the love in reverse?
Like loving their tenants?
Yeah, because in theory, like, well, rents are high. It's easy to rent a unit. Why do you think there's a lot of friction the other way too?
I think most landlords appreciate their tenants, but I don't think a landlord dislikes their tenants automatically. I think a landlord will typically start to have distaste if like someone's just ripping you to shreds and just like talking bad about you, talking bad about your character. I think they kind of develop that on average. I don't think that's something that a landlord just like, I just hate my tenants.
And I don't think a tenant just hates their landlord either. It's just weird that there's so much stress. And I sometimes wonder why it is. And I don't know.
It's the biggest money movement, man.
Yeah, it's true. But there was a period of time where rents were lower and I felt like everyone got along better, but also the landlords were more pleased. And so I come back to the sort of the behind the scene costs because
you're also in control of their home. Like you're in control of somebody's house.
Yeah.
Like it's friggin' name, landlord. Like I think it just creates, it also creates a like tiered system of like one person's at one point.
Yeah, yeah. It breaks to the feudal system. I don't even remember the feudal system from like
social
studies, extra class. Yeah. But also like, I think some of it behind the scenes is everyone's feeling tighter. And I know there's no sympathy for landlords, but I think the landlords are so frustrated at the government and, you know, be that tax. They're also frustrated. Utilities are frustrated about insurance. They're frustrated about all of that in the same way that the tenants are eating the burden of those same things indirectly through higher rents. And that's just a lot of misdirected angst. That's a total digression. I was just thinking about it because, like, I remember back when there was this time where rents were lower, but I knew every single tenant by name and we just got along great. And now even when I have like a nicer unit than ever and I can rent it out better, this, you know, easier than ever, it just still doesn't feel as...
The system is a little messed where it's a profit-based system, and because it's become so accessible, the margins have become so razor thin. Mm. Like, it just forces this necessity for the landlord to do want to do the least for their people. Mm-hmm. To try and make a buck out of it. And yes, people are like, it's not razor thin. Like, you're making a fortune during these, and there's windows, like there's years where you make a fortune, but it also swings the other way.
Yeah.
And as a whole, once they're stabilized, you're not making huge, huge amounts of money. I don't know. The whole time you're talking in my head, I'm like, it just goes back to the idea that, like, realistically, it should be almost everybody, like 80% should be public housing. And then outside of that, any private housing is if somebody chooses to want to spend the money. So if I want something nicer,
80% public housing.
Maybe not 80%, maybe 60%. But no. But it should be like, there should be a good base of public housing.
Well,
and then
no
when
kidding,
you choose
60 to 80%, dude,
okay,
that's
maybe,
crazy.
Maybe. Well, you say that, but like,
where are you going to get the money for that, bud? Where's that like, but where, Neil the socialist all of a sudden, season
no,
three.
No,
Neil goes
no,
full
no.
socialist. Let's hear it, comrade. No. Sell me on 60 to 80% public
okay,
housing.
No. That was too high of a ratio. 60%, maybe not. But you look at, I think it's Singapore. I got to look up. Singapore is majority public housing. And then the people that have the additional capital or choose to, you can go out and spend extra money to have something that you want that is more to your own setup. And so in North America, if you want to go out and have a home, then you go spend the extra money to have a house. If you want to have a fancy apartment or condo, you go out and spend the extra money to have those things. Then I think that'll eliminate the resentment, but there's still a huge public base. And I know you're saying, where's the money come from for that? People still have to pay to live in those spaces. Like, they're still going to have to pay some fair level of rent, but it'll help to prevent these swings where apartments one day are $600, the next day they're $2,000.
Mm. Now, I think you overshot there. You spiraled with your 60 to 80%, but I think we do,
60.
You know,
back to 60.
You're out of control. But yeah, more public.
What's Singapore? Look, Google right now. How many people in Singapore, if I had my phone, I'd do it, but I can't. What percentage of people in Singapore live in public housing?
How much public?
We want percentages.
Singapore.
What is
Damn,
it?
Damn. As of 2020, 78.7% of Singapore residents live in public housing.
Damn, son.
Yeah, but down from 88% in 2000.
Damn, son. You see what I'm saying, though?
I mean, I've never been to Singapore. Is it dope?
Is Singapore dope? Everyone knows Singapore is dope. Look up the average wealth in Singapore, too. They have like the highest average like wealth per person because they all live in these in the public housing, and you actually can save and invest your money.
Yo, I don't understand this one thing. Singapore's affordable housing program works so well that some of its subsidized apartments now resell for more than $700,000. I don't quite understand that. Anyway, all right, that's a conversation for another day, but very interesting.
So you see what I'm saying? So my 80% number was pretty bang on. I looked at a utopia of Singapore.
Yeah,
and
I always keep thinking about how I wish I was in Singapore.
This is what I'm saying.
I think we were kind of talking about, this is interesting because this borderlines on your socialist goals there, Neil. Ontario universities, I don't know how they're going to enforce this, but I guess the provincial government in Ontario said that now universities and colleges in Ontario must guarantee housing for foreign students. If you're going to accept a foreign student, you have to guarantee them housing. And remember that Ontario has like, I don't know, half of all the international students in Canada would be in Ontario.
So it's just going to result in the government's giving the universities money and then they're going to go buy buildings.
Buy them?
That's going to be the only choice.
But how are they going to vacate them to put the students in there? How are you going to guarantee the units? I don't know how this is going to be enforced, but this is crazy. So think about it. This is...
Hold on. Where, is this in all of Canada or just Ontario?
This is just Ontario. This is the provincial government. And I don't know, like, I can't imagine that... See, sometimes the provinces and the federal government don't talk hand in hand. I would think that Ontario as a province had been working towards this idea for the last little bit. Mm-hmm. And then the federal government comes in with this cap and probably didn't give Ontario the heads up because now you've got these two things together. Like there's a cap. And again, Ontario bearing like having the most international students by wide margin in Canada is probably going to fall by 50% of the number of students. And then those students that do come have to somehow be guaranteed a place to live. How do you guarantee anyone a place to live? Like what happens if they don't pay the rent and like, oh, we guarantee you another one. So it's crazy. I don't know how that's going to work, but that's brand new news. If you guys have any insight on that,
Anyone I imagine there's going to be some developers that win in this one because they're going to be like, we can just build giant purpose-built buildings with a university cutting us a check to buy the place at the end.
So you know,
or doing master leases over the whole building.
You know this 12-unit building that I'm working on right now that's going to be totally vacant?
Yes.
I've been kind of being like, should I just have a 12-unit vacant and talk to either the like Nova Scotia Health, right? So about getting some, you know, the traveling
nurses. They're all one
bedrooms
too, isn't it?
They're all one bedrooms.
Yeah, they want that. They'll take that.
And just fill in the whole damn building. Or do I sell it to them? Or do I just rent it to them?
They won't buy it from you. But they'll master lease the whole thing. I actually, remind me after this. I'll hook you up.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. All right, that's a digression. Those are my two little news things. So again, landlord registry in Ontario that I had never heard about. Actually, I think someone I know had mentioned it because there's an app being developed here locally that's really cool for landlords. And we're going to get Mary Ellen on to talk about that. But
I actually have good news on how they're going to do this. I actually just realized my news article is going to be the way that this is fixed. So okay. Leon's Furniture in Toronto is putting up 4,000 units.
Leon's Furniture?
Yeah.
Like units of housing or like a really nice living room set?
No, like units of housing on their office site.
Okay.
So the head office for Leon's is based out of Toronto. And during some new rezoning, their current commercial space can now hold 4,000 units. And so they've decided to build them. This is the part that's kind of weird to me is like you'd expect Leon's to sell the land, mm-hmm. like almost
every, or like, the air rights or whatever's above their building.
Yeah, to just like stay in your lane. But they're building apparently 4,000 condos on the site.
Hmm.
It doesn't say anything about who's the construction manager or anything. I don't know if they're just going to start
how does that relate
furniture
to
salespeople. Next thing you know, well, they're going to have 4,000 apartments they can give to
universities. Yeah, I think you are onto something where, oh, so you know how condo resale are down in yeah. Ontario and
yeah.
there's some buildings, some developments not happening or being kind of like
yeah.
sold off pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
That's where some of these universities will snatch it. They'll be like, all right, we're going to finish this condo project. We'll co-own it. We'll have a 20-year lease on it and basically make it a giant res building, this condo building.
I agree. The only thing is, man, like a condo building in Toronto, I feel like the cheapest one you could buy is going to be like $350 million.
Well, they've been charging these guys a lot of tuition. Do you know what the tuition is five times that what a Canadian place pays? Five times.
Five? I thought it was like double.
No, apparently it's about five times as much.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this is what I looked up. You Google that.
I don't have my phone.
What's it in Singapore,
Neil? You're the Googler guy.
What's it in Singapore? Anyway, so that's interesting. Leon's.
I thought that was really interesting because usually, again, everyone, it's like the whole premise of, for your business to succeed, you want to own the real estate that your business is in. And then a lot of these giant box stores and different companies like this have done really well because their sites are enormous. Same with the grocery stores. Everyone's talking about how all the grocery stores have prime sites all over North America that can be redeveloped.
You know what's crazy? Leon's is still owned by the Leon family.
It's public though, publicly traded.
Is
so
it?
They probably have a majority stake, but because it said with this, the shares are up 6%.
Okay. I was going to say just because I was wondering like, well, who owns Leon's?
Do you think they're going to throw in a set of furniture with every place?
Man, if they don't do furnished apartments, I feel like they're missing a really obvious crossover. They still have controlling.
Shit. Yeah, but it was up in trading because they said they're going to, it kind of makes sense because it's like, okay, they can sell a site 4,000 units. I don't know what the hell that'd be worth in Toronto, probably $400 million. Probably get 100 grand a door for land, mm-hmm. if not more. But they're going to actually go through the process of trying to capitalize and make the extra bit of margin, which kind of blows my mind. But I feel like it could hit.
Well, I mean, you might want to diversify because look how many big box stores have gone under, right? Like you can order your furniture online, man.
This is mental though, that basically every business now in North America, it doesn't matter what you do. It's like, just get into the real estate.
You got to get a piece of the real estate. My favorite one is like Crombie's relationship to Sobeys. I love that. Anyway, okay. What else you got?
Okay. So the other one is, and back to Asia, Evergrande. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
The largest real estate player in the world based out of China.
Is it Evergrande or Evergrande?
Evergrande? Evergrande.
This guy's ordering from Starbucks.
Yeah.
I'll take my $1 billion entity.
$300 billion US. So it'll be like $400 billion Canadian. They started running into troubles about a year ago, I think, when we were talking about it. Maybe
probably
even longer.
A year ago.
They were kind of hitting the fan right at the start of like rates going.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously nothing's gotten any better. They've now been ordered to liquidate. So the most recent hearing, they had requested
like
another 90...
Everything? Do they have any nice 6 or 8 units?
Oh, God. Do they have a nice duplex for Chandler? They are liquidating all of it. There's no more... Like, they've been delaying, extending, trying to find like a proposal, come up with a solution, whatever it is. The thing that was crazy to me when I was reading through this, two things. It's being compared to the Lehman Brothers in the States. Like, this is the size of collapse and impact that this will have on the Chinese economy. This is mind-numbing to me, is they had millions of deposits on new homes that they have not delivered.
Mm.
Millions. Not dollars, like unit count.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being short a million homes.
And I wonder...
That are pre-sold.
Gosh. Yeah. Oh, man. What a fiasco. That's like, you think like the burning down of houses in suburban Toronto neighborhoods is bad. Like, think about that. That's nuts. And really, this liquidation is probably not to pay those people back. It's probably...
It's going to be just to try and clean the banks up. There's so
many lenders in front of that.
Yeah, yeah, all the lenders are going to get cleaned up.
Who's going to buy that sort of stuff?
Well, this is the other thing, right? When you go to liquidate that much stuff, now your $300 billion portfolio is now probably worth about $75 billion because you're so big that you're literally flooding the market. Like, it's not like a blip. It's not like when Airbnb got banned and we felt a little blip there. This is like you're absolutely annihilating the whole marketplace.
I don't know a whole lot about this, but I feel that China wouldn't be super receptive to internationals coming in and buying this stuff.
I don't think so
up. So
they might change their mind. So, and 90% of their real estate's in China. I don't know where the other 10% is, but
Singapore.
They want to hold on to those.
Yeah.
Those will do well.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's crazy.
It's kind of insane to see it happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on that note,
do
you want to get into different sectors?
Let's get into different sectors now. Do I tell you what you said last time?
No, run me through. I'm going to see how good my memory is and see if I think the same thing twice.
Okay, so we're going to go over the sectors real quick. Okay. We have industrial, commercial. So industrial is like warehousing, commercial spaces like retail, all that kind of crap. Residential, single family homes, multi-res, condos, office. Chandler, in our last episode.
All right, just give me the first one.
Industrial.
Industrial, I still felt good about. I think it's still got a bit more run.
So you're saying up?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you said. Good job. Commercial.
Commercial down.
Yeah. Residential.
Residential, oh, I probably said a little more up and then kind of like steadily going. So if you want to consider that flat or like our normal trajectory is 2 to 3% a year, I think at some point we're going to level back to that.
The answer is up, down, or flat.
I guess I said probably flat. Flat with a little bit of up.
He's floundering.
No, you know what I'm trying to say. Whatever.
You said flat. You nailed it. Okay. You nailed it. You nailed it. That was good, though. Multi-res?
Multi-res, I think definitely flat. If not, I might have sort of said a little bit of a give back because we've got to adjust for these numbers here.
Sit down. Okay. Sit down. Condos?
Condos. What did I think about condos?
There's also a three-year horizon, just so we're clear here.
Okay. I think condos are giving a bit back.
You said flat.
Okay.
So you've gotten less optimistic on the condos, right?
Yeah.
Office.
Office. So office, I was torn because I think as office usage, down, but as conversion, up. So
final answer.
One of these, a little up, down.
Final answer being down.
Yeah, I think I said down as office, but up with the trend of residential.
Okay, well, I didn't have all those notes here. I just have an arrow, so.
All right, so let's start. What do you think about industrial?
Okay, so I'm flat on industrial.
Okay, why? Just because it's so hot now?
I think it's already had a huge run. And then, and again, we're talking probably most more locally to Atlantic market. It's very nuanced. I think we're about to see over the next 24 months how nuanced each marketplace is within Canada. But I think in Atlantic, I think it's going to go flat. The main reason being is, I'm sure some of you have heard, when they opened the Burnside Industrial Park, the new phase, whatever it's called, but on the other side of the highway, it didn't fully sell out. Now, those are very large sites and they're land sites. Yeah. You're right. But there's also a fair number of warehouses that have come on market recently. I don't like, and I think there was rents basically doubled. So I think they've already had their run.
Yeah.
In my opinion, but I don't know. There might
you
be
think
some
the backlog can be filled in 3 years? The backlog?
Well, I think now you're about to see the economy slow down. It already is. And so then all these businesses aren't going to necessarily want as much space. The other thing I've seen is Amazon shipments way down, all these different shipments way down. And a big part of the reason warehousing went ballistic over the last few years, especially with COVID, is online shipping was crazy. Online shopping was crazy. And so everyone who had an online business was like, I need 50,000 square feet. Like I could sell 400 million toasters a day if I had the space. That's not happening anymore.
Yeah, yeah. No,
so I think over the next 3 years, I think you'll see flat, maybe down, but I think flat. Because I think this is kind of where it was supposed to be here.
I just think like there's so much money being talked about or dumped into housing. Like that sort of large scale industrial stuff is what fills a lot of those parks. Like you're talking about the consumer spending, like almost third-party shipping kind of part of it. I think that
might be the largest warehouses in this park are on shipping stuff. I think.
But like shipping consumer goods or shipping?
I think so.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
Honestly.
Well, you had the advantage of doing a little bit of research before. being asked the question. So.
I would like to preface this with, I don't know specific research to our chart here.
Oh, that's good.
This is just general
sentiment.
Yeah.
Okay. What was next? Commercial. How do you feel about commercial?
What was that?
That was my foot squeaking. I'm okay. Wearing, I was like, what? Boots, because it's a, you know.
Yeah, I saw those. I got to whip mine out tomorrow. There. Commercial. You sit down.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I feel really lame, but I've, oh man.
You're waffling on this? Remember, you just said purchasing and consumer spending was going to be down. So it wouldn't make sense for you to say commercial real estate is going to be up.
Like, it wouldn't.
But.
I don't know that it's going to be up. Because we have a lot of empty commercial space. We always have in the city. My big thing is, I do think spending is going to be down. Like, I look at our city, and I think a lot of Canadian cities, is I think there's kind of this lag going on right now where a bazillion people moved in, and there's so much focus on giving them housing. But then they also just need basic things to live, right? Mm-hmm. It's like our downtown. In the last 3 years, or our peninsula, we've added like 20,000 units.
Yeah.
And those people, they might not be going to, like, the Coach store a bunch, because right now
it doesn't store
Coach, like the fancy purchase. No, fancy.
Oh,
purses.
Right. Gotcha.
Like, like luxury goods. They're not going to necessarily going on luxury goods stores a bunch, but when you just have that many more people, like, you just need more restaurants to service them because a good portion of people who live in downtown locations typically live in smaller apartments and eat out a lot.
But if you're projecting to all this new development that's going to happen here, a lot of them come with a lot of commercial square footage. Like, everything in the corridor has to do commercial on the main level. Look at all these big plazas, Richmond Yards, all that. Like, they're going to, like, load up on a bunch of commercial space.
That's also
all at
true.
Once.
And there's a lot of new stuff.
And when lending is super tight, because no one opens those stores, no one opens those restaurants with their own money.
Yeah. And then
they open it with
the landlords don't have any money
other
to give them.
Money. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with flat. I'm going flat again. Flat.
All right.
We're on flat.
Sorry.
I think, yeah. Yeah. All right. You talk me down. I wasn't going to say up. I honestly was never going to say up. You think down?
On which?
Commercial? I was never going
to
say...
I do think down, because I think it's kind of trending down now, and I think we are going to enter a recession. I can't imagine a way to justify or rationale that, like, commercial is going to be booming during a recession. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Just think, with all the new people, you got to service these guys. We need more pizza shops. Everyone eats pizza. We all live on pizza. Most popular food in the world. They take
pizza's
space.
Pretty great. Pizza's like sex. Even when it's not that good, it's still pretty good.
Now I want pizza for dinner. Anyways, res. I'm saying up. Over the next 3 years, I think single family res is going up.
At what sort of rate? Like, our normal little putt along? Because, like, I was trying to be like, what does
5-7%. So a little bit above.
Annual?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think our normal prior to this whole insanity was 3%.
Mm-hmm.
Insanity was 15-25, I guess.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see, like, slightly above the norm. Like, I think five, maybe, and then, like, a couple of good years, maybe of 7.
Hmm.
Reason being, and I think I've alluded to this last time, but immigrants want to own real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just part of the culture.
Yeah.
They expect to own real estate.
They also buy new construction, which drives prices up.
They like to buy new construction. They don't want to get into older product if possible. And you see, like, this is my whole spiel in general, and I'm going to talk about this again for the next one for multi-res, but we have, like, a lot of units that are multi-couple occupied, right? And so, like, they are, and they come here, they work hard, they're putting together, like, they have multiple jobs.
Also, the foreign buyer bench is going to be lifted potentially.
Yeah. So I just see a lot of these people coming out of these apartments, and I think we underestimate how many people are living in the apartments that we have currently and that are going to push to buy. And I think you're already seeing that now. Like, a lot of homes are being bought by newcomers. They come into an apartment and they're just, like, cash saving like crazy to get into a house. So I think within, like, we just saw that this is the first time I think that you can really even notice newcomers in Halifax. I feel like I've been here for whatever 15 years and I'd never felt it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now that there's actually, like, a presence, I think we're going to be surprised at how intensive things go on the ownership side of things.
Yeah, I mean, the last little couple of years when people ask, I'm like, you just wait, man, wait till these rates go back down. And all these folks get off the foreign buyer ban and they get their PR established. Like, it is going to be chaos. I've softened on that a little bit because I don't think rates are going to return nearly to the degree that people think. And I think a lot of these individuals are going to leave. Like,
yeah, I agree.
I saw something else and I wanted to talk about it, but I didn't have a chance to get all my information. But the drop off over a couple of years of these folks is pretty significant.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, so they leave the country en masse. Like, they come here and a lot of them don't stick around.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to continue. I just don't think they're going to stay at a huge rate. So I don't know. And when I say, again, when I was saying flat, I mean, like, I think we're just going to go back to normal, which is like 3% a year.
Yeah.
But I do think this year is going to be good. It's the next year that I think is going to be a little, you know, a little bit blah. Yeah.
My thing is, immigrants put together cash, put big down payments.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm surprised. I thought they were really rate sensitive, but I'm feeling like they're not.
Mm.
The way I'm talking about this, like, there's like this whole separate genre of people, but they are, they have a different, they live a different, they've grown up in a different way.
They're not as much, they tend to be not as a debt people as the Western world, but we sure convince them to take that debt. Like, come on over here and let me show you how it's done.
They also hustle, man. Like, if you upped and left your country and came to a whole new place, like, they're on a grind.
All right, what's the next one?
Multi-res.
Yeah, how do you feel?
Not good.
Yeah, so you think multi-res is down?
I think multi-res is down. I think we're going to lose some rent. We talked about this last time. I think there's a lot of new product coming online.
Rates are up. Door price has to adjust. Has to.
Door price has to adjust. Costs are way up. And then I do think rents are going to soften. I think, again, similar to the idea of, like, they're overestimating, I think, how many units we need. I really, truly believe that. My thing is, too, I'm like, how can they just keep being like, we're 100,000 units short? Where are the 200,000 people then?
Well, where are you talking? In Canada and where?
Everywhere. Every time they talk about any of it, it's Atlanta, Canada, we're 30,000 doors short. So I'm like, that means you guys are estimating that there's 60,000 people without a house. I'm telling you, we'd have more than 10 tents up at the downtown. Like, we don't have 59,000 people hiding in the forest waiting for apartments to come
I think
online.
They mean in order to reach, like, affordability. So I think they're talking about some sort of correction. Like,
so they're, I guess, increasing vacancy.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, there's a lot of people living in, like, multiple couples living in single apartments. So I think we're getting to a point, everyone's already kind of feeling it. Additionally, similar to what I said, where I think a lot of people are going to buy a house. When they go buy a house, then they're going to leave a vacant apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and then with the talk about immigration cuts, and now they've tied immigration to inflation, like, there might be a slower entry flow of new people to Canada. All of these things don't point for the sexiest setup on the multi-res in a temporary time frame. And I don't think it's going to be a full collapse, but I definitely think, like you said, it's going to give some back.
Would you feel any different about this if they full-on just slam the brakes on immigration?
If they full-on slam the brakes on immigration, it's bad news. It's bad news bears out here, bro. We're going, like, I need, like, a quadruple arrow down. Like, if they, it's just a flow. Like, it's we've talked about this, and, like, we come short every month, but the second that you cut that it off, like, dead stop, we're hooped. That's the other thing. If another, like, pandemic breaks out.
Oh, yeah, that's a different arrow ball game altogether.
But that could really mess things up.
You think, yeah. It'd be interesting to see what lessons we learned. Those sword checks wouldn't be going out the door quite as quick.
We would not be nearly as prepared. I think we'd be even more ill-prepared than last time.
How is that possible?
Because everyone, like, we'd have, like, this divide again of people that were like,
I don't give a fuck. I'm definitely not isolating.
Yeah, you think we had a trucker rally last time. Just wait on this one.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have the other half of the people that feel like that was actually the response was too soft.
Yeah.
I think it would be an absolute blowout. Anyways, we were told we're not allowed to talk about anything to do with pandemics because then the AI bots of the internet just shut down any of our content. Condo market. I think in the short term, 3 years, flat. I also agree there. I don't think it's going to be outpaced by single families.
I also think it's just going to have a one-time adjustment in the same way that I think some other things are going to have a little adjustment here because.
Think downwards?
Like, it's a little, because I think the resale, the new construction condo numbers have been terrible coming out of Ontario, right? We lag behind them. So I see something similar here. So I think there's going to be, you know, some pullback on that.
You think?
Yeah, a little bit. And then kind of.
Atlantic Canada has a very nuanced market in the sense that.
I know,
that, like,
especially when it comes to condos, because we don't have that many.
And majority are like 20 years old.
Like, how many, I won't ask you to name developments. How many condo, if you were looking for a condo right now?
Like finished or pre-sale?
No, if you were looking to move into a condo right now, and you can even count a pre-construction one. How many buildings are there that you would actually like?
Want to live in?
Want to move into in Halifax. Don't say the ones.
I'm a bad person to ask because everyone knows I'm a douche, but probably two or three.
Yeah. Like, we don't have that many condo buildings.
You know what kills me? Because I've been looking for a condo. Like, any of the decently located ones and decent-sized units, I'm like, I'm looking at them, I'm like, okay, so I have to gut this thing to the bones. Because majority of them have, like, popcorn ceilings and, like...
They're dated.
What's that, like,
some of the more
interlock wood floor stuff?
Hardwood? Oh, no. Parquet.
Parquet. They have
parquet.
They have parquet floors and stuff on the ceiling. That's every building. And I'm like, I pay $700,000 and I have to rip this whole thing to the studs.
Yeah. But it's not... My point was, like... at each price point in the condo market in Halifax, there's maybe like three or four condo projects. Mm-hmm. So we have a really, in a weird way, we could have a very strong condo market here locally because people are catching up to the idea of condos and we have people moving here who are more familiar with condo lifestyle. People here, as recently as 7 years ago, thought condos were the weirdest thing ever and you had to explain them to people. So
here's why I think it's going to, so the difference between us and the Ontario market, the Ontario marketplace, look at your leverage ratios on average on the condo market. I bet you it's like 90% levered. Mm. I bet you if you look at the condo market here, it's probably like 30% levered because I bet you 70% of the condos are owned by people 50 plus.
In certain projects, absolutely.
I'd say a good, like outside of like the towers, like there's only a few buildings that I don't think are full of retired people.
Well, like the hipster North End ones.
And then the hipster, but they're small.
Yeah.
Like they're small and they're turning over now. Like I've sold a few young people into them, but.
Yeah. So yeah, it's weird. Like I feel like if you're in the right building in Halifax, condos could be very, very strong moving forward. I also
condos are going to pop when single family homes get to be too damn expensive. So yeah, I think we're going to have this run on single families over the next 3 to 5 years.
This is where we disagree, right? It's because you think the res is going to keep going up, the single family stuff, which drags up the condos. And I'm not as convinced of that.
But I think for now, condos will be flat. I think our car condo strength will be in like 7 years. 7 to 10 years, I think we're like that far out. There'll be a whole nother cycle. And then I think at that point when it's like, okay, the peninsula of Halifax is an average price point of $1 million. Also, now a $600,000 condo kind of makes sense. Because do I want to live in the peninsula? Traffic's absolutely hooped. All they're going to do is they're going to say, okay, we got $100 million from federal government for rapid transit. We're just getting rid of a bunch of lanes and we're going to put in a shit ton of bike lanes and bus lanes. So you have to take the bus.
If you look like demographically, as crazy as this sounds, but like, the baby boomers' kids will start to be empty nesters in about 10 years.
Yeah.
And so that's a generation that grew up with condos. You know, it's going to have a decent amount of income, could be downsizing some homes, and is a pretty decent sized cohort to go through and potentially shift to condos. But
yeah. So I think out there for condos, flat for now. Office?
Talk to me.
Everyone's down on office. Everyone's just like, office
we
is the worst.
On like almost all these. You're
not even. I don't see an agreement. Okay, look, I was flat. You were down, I was flat. You were flat, I was up. We were both down. We were both flat. Okay, we were pretty close.
Yeah.
So.
And we were never opposite. Like, it was just a split in hairs over flat versus.
So I should say office up is what you're saying.
What's that?
I say office to the moon.
Yeah, say office up just to the moon, baby.
So it depends how you look at this. Okay? It depends because office buildings are trading right now at about 25% of pre-COVID value. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking from that number.
There's room to grow.
There is technically room to grow.
Yeah.
Like there's buildings that were like $200 million in 2019 going for like $25 million today. Like one just closed in Toronto, didn't it? For like literally, who sold it? It was like an insurance company and they paid $220 or $212 in like 2018 and they just sold it for $20 million.
Jesus.
George R. Moyen, it was in the newspaper. Didn't he just buy one? Or Calgary. Calgary, that's where it was. In Calgary. It was a $200 million building, and I think he bought it for 1/10.
He's always contrarian, too, so.
He is a contrarian guy. Yeah. And so there's a mixture of reasons why I think I'm going up. We're going up. We're going opposites. I'm going up. I've talked myself into it now.
Speaking of contrarian. But I wonder if he's looking to convert it. Basically, you're saying it's so shitty right now, it can only go up. That's your rationale.
We're at land value now. Some of them are trading for less than land value because like there's demolition costs associated with this thing. Yeah. And there's carrying costs, like all the property
tax. That's why I think the conversion stuff is so interesting. I think there's some upward thing if you repurpose it.
So full clarity here, when we were in the midst of this, and the thing, I don't know if I brought it up, but I was trying to buy an office building to do a conversion. I could not make the numbers work for the life of me because of the tax implications.
Yeah.
I think we did talk about this, but basically I found
some
that you had to strip the whole
stuff.
Yeah, the envelope was garbage. Basically, by the time it was done, the only thing that you could keep was the concrete. Mm-hmm. And realistically, even the concrete, I had a core drill literally 10,000 holes
through
it.
All your new plumbing. Yeah.
Yeah. So all I could value it as was the land and then the concrete. So I just basically found out what those two things were worth. Mm-hmm. And that's all it was kind of worth to me. Because otherwise, I might as well just buy a piece of land and build brand new. Yep. Long story short, at that point in time, there was still HST applicable. And that was really honestly the kicker that killed it. It was like, that was literally the room for error was the 15%. And then I was like, oh shit. Spoke to some people doing conversions and they're like, nope, this is a bill that there's no way around. Now, they've removed that now, which is great.
The HST component of it, yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense. And there's some incentives that are going out, it sounds like. And I think with those, you can make the conversions. Again, I don't think a lot of these buildings are really well suited. Like I was watching a guy in a company in the States being interviewed by Forbes or something, and they were talking about how they basically came up with a system that can determine if a building's actually even suitable to be converted based on its width and like dimensions, because the way the hallways have to be laid out. And
that's the other thing with offices, it tend to just be like elevator and just like a square round. It's
the one that I was looking at. We had to do two hallways back to back.
Yeah, some weird
for fire code.
Right.
Because of the length of a hallway, the way it could be.
Yeah.
So literally we had hallways literally running side by side with a wall in between them. And it was just hallways on both sides because you couldn't just do one because it would have broken fire code.
That's
like
insane.
This is ridiculous. Yeah. So there's some like stuff that needs to be worked around, I think, to make them work. The other problem that was really weird that I found out is there was another building next to it that had just been built.
Mm-hmm.
And now the whole side of this office tower had to come off and get redone as fire rated.
Yeah. Even though as existing, it was fine, but now I had to change it. Yeah,
it's currently occupied and it being used and it's fine. But then exactly the second you go to change a res, then it had to go full fire. Anyways, it was, there's a lot of nuance.
But still office up, baby.
Office up. We're going to the moon. But I think there are some buildings and you're starting to see some get torn down. Actually, the bigger reason I might actually be a little bit behind office is genuinely because it's at the very bottom, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But return to office for work. I think a lot of companies are finding this remote system.
Yeah.
Not the best. I think hybrid.
100%.
Hybrid's the way, man. Like
3 to 4 days
in, 1 to 2 days at home. It's a win for both parties.
But that still takes you back to only potentially needing 60% of the square footage you once did. And there's this thing away from like going right downtown. It's like, well, do we really need our office building right downtown? Like, I understand in some big markets, you need that flagship. But a lot of people are like, well, let's just put it out there in the park, in the commercial park, the industrial park. Let's put the office building out there.
Yeah, I'll be curious about that. I was thinking about that too. What the like the downtown obsession. But I think people like that. Like, I think that came to be because people kind of like that idea. Like, there's a reason like these big cities grow and stuff. Like, there's the hustle and bustle. And by also packing everyone into like those closer areas.
Yeah, there's
then efficiencies
for sure,
you can actually sustain like certain restaurants and certain stores.
But I think there's a change of like work-life balance and what you try to offer your employees. Like, what are the total package that you're offering a potential employee? And sometimes like office location, ease of getting to work.
That's huge.
I think it matters, you know?
Because the other thing though is like all transit systems run direct to there. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because I was like thinking about our city and I'm like, if you put it, like I know some people whose office got moved from downtown to Timberley. So for those who don't know Halifax, I mean, downtown's up to the center of everything.
A different one,
and Timberley is on the, what would that be? That would be your west side. So
yeah,
Timberley's on the west side of the city.
Yeah.
Well, half of the staff and half of the people in this city live on the east side of the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have to
like
cross over the bridge, go through Halifax, and then go to the other side of the suburbs. Like it's, and so I'm like, that works out great for the people on that side of the suburbs. But then the other half kind of get set up and you're like, do you have two offices? Whereas a central location is like all of the cities that in basically in North America now have been built around this idea of everyone going into the core.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. Like you have to pick that space. But usually these industrial parks and these hubs were specifically designed to be off highway. So they're easy to get to. You know, that's why you help to put them around there. Like even where we're at here, it's so easy to get here. My locksmith moved from Burnside to like up into Cole Harbor and it drives me insane.
Going
so I used to be ripping around
up.
Town. So I was like, oh, I need a key. I dip into Burnside, get a key cut. And I'm like, oh, I got to go way to the back end of Cole Harbor, eh?
This is a pretty dope industrial park. For location, it's been brutal on roads getting in and out.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a new one coming.
But there's a new one coming, which will be... Yeah, it's a very gray... I mean, it's just a bunch of warehouses, but...
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. So, office to the moon. I'm glad we agree on that.
One thing we didn't touch on there would be hospitality. I think hotels are going to do well because there's just all the Airbnbs are gone. So, once...
You think?
Well, I think once...
Doesn't travel going to be way down?
I think it is for sure, but I think there's going to be such a collection of power... Like, I think all the mom and pops are going to disappear. All the Airbnbs are just going to disappear.
How many units do we have again for Airbnb?
Oh, God, I don't know. A couple thousand was what they alleged in town, but people thought that was maybe exaggerated by 100%, so maybe like 1,000. I just think, man, like, there's going to be this consolidation to, like, the best units now. Like, there's such an arms race between them. I think there's going to be a lot of places go out of business, and then the ones that remain are going to be able to charge, like, really high rates. Like, look how much they're charging a night. It's crazy.
I know, but it was because we came out of COVID. Money was free. There was a big boom. Flight prices are through the roof, and apparently they're not seeing those coming off anytime soon. Savings are down. I think, so I'm like, are people going to travel a lot more? I think within the hospitality industry, the like staycation style stuff that's like close to the city, kind of affordable, those will actually do decent, I think.
Yeah, we got to figure out more local tourism for sure.
I mean, they have some cool stuff. Like for Halifax, the LGP is coming. That's going to be super neat. That's huge. That's international. That's like the F1 for sailboats. Like it's enormous.
So,
like that's, we're like, this is, it's a world stage. Like that's gonna be really cool. And I do think where Halifax is in its growth phase and all that, I think we're going to do fine. So I think in Atlantic, you're going to see really good numbers. But I don't know about everywhere. I don't know. Maybe it'll just tick along. Maybe we were so far behind. And like you said, they've cut Airbnb everywhere. But even before they cut Airbnb, I heard a lot of people saying their Airbnbs were hurting.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Like, yeah. Even my one that I have is not by no means like a slam dunk.
We've done pretty well here in the off season because we have been getting traveling nurses. So actually kind of getting like midterm rental, furnished rental for traveling work people, which I think is also going to be a part of the demand in some of these hotels.
Yeah.
Right? Scooping that stuff up.
Yeah.
But okay, we probably have to wrap it up. Yeah. Unless you got anything else here. We don't know what day we're going to upload these anymore, but thanks as always for listening. And we're hoping to do this consistently again. So chime in at this point with anything you want us to talk about. Reach out to us on socials, comment, all that good stuff.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks so much for watching the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, press like. Don't forget to subscribe. But also check us out on Instagram and TikTok. You can find all the links below. Thanks again for checking us out. When I was broke, I had rich habits. When I was broke, I had rich habits.